I don't quite know whether I can introduce myself. Quite a lot of you discovered that I'm one of the people that wasn't born in England. I was born in Trinidad. And because I will be celebrating my 60th birthday on Easter Day, that was good planning, collect my bus pass and climb Snowdon on the same day. There's a lot of life, and I've been all over the place. I've lived on four continents. Son of a priest, grandson of a primitive Methodist lay preacher, father of a priest, husband of a priest, our daughter's an occupational therapist. So thank God for... I teach at Ridley Hall and have been very privileged to help set up a centre for prayer. Just two quick things about that. Everywhere I go, I'm really encouraged that churches are hungry to pray. Maybe churches have always been hungry to pray. And just as we've had a lot of talk about mission-shaped church over the last few years and mission action plans, you're probably up to here with mission action plans, aren't you? I wonder when somebody will write prayer-shaped church and have a prayer action plan. It would be interesting, wouldn't it? So that's the first thing. The second thing is to ask you whether you've ever met anyone who thought that they were really good at praying. So that's the giveaway, isn't it? Because we all sit quietly, not saying anything when people talk about prayer because we think everybody else is better at it than we are. Truth is, none of us thinks that we're as good at it as we should be. And it would be really good if Christians could be much more honest about it. The not very good at it that we experience is the way it is for most people. And I think that we are like little children learning to speak. And whoever complained when their one-year-old hadn't got the grammar right yet? And do you think that God complains because I haven't got the grammar right yet? Of course he doesn't. And we do need to be a bit more relaxed about it. And I'm not wanting to suggest that we shouldn't want to grow. But you don't grow, you don't learn a language by worrying about it. You know, you go to France and you've got two sentences in French. And if you worry, what do? You freeze. If you worry about your prayer life, you freeze. And so there needs, I think one of the things that the Simeon Centre wants to do is to help us to be a bit more comfortable with the fact that we're on a journey. And we're on that journey together. And I'm not in my job because I'm better at it than you are, but because I'm not afraid to stand up here and say, my praying isn't as good as it will be when I get to heaven. So I think if I can stand up and make a fool of myself, then you can be foolish back to me and say, we're still learning too. So that's just a bit about me for you to hear my voice. The theme of the weekend is Oasis. So no stress, it's nice, calm, cooling sort of place. And if you're feeling a bit overheated, just step outside and you'll find it nice and calm and cooling. It is getting quite chilly outside. But there are some interesting I'm not going to preach to you now, you'll be glad to know, because you're all sleepy and so am I. But I want to just tell you a couple of stories that illustrate some of the things that are going through my mind that I might build on tomorrow. The first is about the fact that when you are in an oasis, before you set out on the journey again, you often find that you're carrying more than you need to. And how many of you have brought far too many clothes for the weekend? So I will talk about that. But I was really struck cycling out. We cycled from Comberton to Ely and back the other day, which is 52 miles. So, and we do cycle to work. And we got to Haddenham coming back from Ely. And I saw that there was a little village and a causeway. And I thought, I wonder if we can go down the causeway, which we couldn't. And you'll find out why in a minute. The little village is called Aldrith. And some of you will know Aldrith. Now, I didn't know that Aldrith was the site of two major battles between William the Conqueror and Hereward the Wake. Did you know that? Gosh, and how long have you lived around this area? I remember Hereward the Wake from primary school. Hereward the Saxon is how he's sometimes called. Well, the last bit of England, this says something about East Anglia, doesn't it? The last bit of England that William couldn't conquer was the Isle of Ely. The last little bit. And they wanted it badly because it was very wealthy. There was lots of church wealth and there was probably a lot of secular wealth as well. But of course, it was surrounded by water. So William gathered thousands of his troops, just the Cambridge side of Ely, south of Ely, at the bottom of the hill. And they decided that they were going to invade up towards Haddenham. And they built a causeway. I can't believe I'm telling you all this and you haven't discovered it. And they got animal bladders, filled them with air, as you do, pumped them up, you know, with their bicycle pumps, put them in the water, and they put trees and bits of stick and all the stuff on. And then William ordered his men to march on Hereward's men, who I think were in Haddenham. But of course, they were very heavily weighted down with armour, and the causeway capsized. And thousands of men were lost. They're still digging them up in the fens. And even the second time that William tried, he failed that way. In the end, they only took Ely by going round from the north. And that's a different story. And it was very striking, quite scary, how much effort can be put into crossing the causeway. And the thing that they didn't think about was the weight on their backs. So there is a little bit about this weekend being a time for you to think about whether there is anything that you're carrying that you maybe need not carry. Some more about that tomorrow. The second thing that I'll talk about is about meeting Jesus. Jesus as our guide. I put on the notes, and of course you haven't all got the program, which is great because my thinking's moved on, about meeting Jesus in the Indaba, South Zulu word for the kind of gathering of the thanes or the earls or the equivalent. But to stay with the idea of meeting Jesus, meeting God. And again, a little story to tease you. The last Maundy Thursday that we were in South Africa, 2005, the clergy always gather for the blessing of the oils and the renewal of their ordination vows. And we didn't gather in our cathedral in the Diocese of Christ the King, because there isn't one. And the bishop won't build one, which is great. So we gather in a parish church. And when we arrived, Desmond Tutu was sitting there wrapped up in his blanket on one of the seats. He'd arrived there hours before us, I think. And when he was Archbishop of Cape Town, he used to get up at 4 o'clock every morning and pray till six, every day. Now there's a man who knows how to pray. But the thing that struck me and often strikes me about Desmond when I've met him on rare occasions, first time in Trinidad in 1976, is he's very small, very insignificant looking. But somehow, and some of you are nodding already, you just have to sit next to him, even if he's wrapped in his blanket, and you know you're in the presence of a great man. And I don't know what it is, but there is something absolutely magnetic about him. Well, it's his love for Jesus. And I guess that Jesus was like that, only more so. And we always think of Jesus as tall, don't we? Who knows? He might have been quite small, like my grandfather, was 5 foot nothing, and yet had that presence, the presence of God, which just terrifies but draws you. You know you can't keep away, makes you feel even smaller. So there's something about that, about the need to be caught by that wonderful sense that Jesus draws us, that some of you will have experienced at conversion, some of you as a child in Sunday school, some of you in reading a passage of a book, some of you in seeing the Jesus film, or whatever it was. And I guess you've got stories to tell us because we don't know you. So that's the second little thing. The third is about having put down your burdens and having been reconnected to this wonderfully magnetic Jesus. Before you set out on the journey, you make sure that you have all that you have. And so I will say something about equipment for the journey, but for tonight, a story. When we were in Johannesburg, which we were for 6 years, I was asked to go to Namibia to look at the diocese's program of Christian education. So we decided, it's a long drive, it's a 13-hour drive from Johannesburg to Windhoek. And we thought, well, we might as well make a holiday of it. They're paying for us to travel. Week's work, we'll have 2 weeks in Etosha or in Namibia. And we crossed the Kalahari or the Chalachadi by car. And you were counting the other cars that you met by, like, we'd see a car every 5 minutes and then it would thin out and you'd see a car every 13 minutes on the major highway across the desert. And it was quite scary. But the scariest thing of all was that in the middle of the Kalahari, there is a little town called Kang, which the nearest, I don't know whether this is what it means, but Kang sounds like the Sesotho word for where. And it felt a bit like that. And we got to the petrol station. Do you want to tell us a bit of the story?
Well, it's the only place you can get petrol, which we haven't realised. Mm-hmm. And if you don't pick it up there, you can't get to the other end of the country. But we got there, and one of the petrol pumps had no petrol in it, and the other one couldn't discharge petrol because there was a problem with some
with the pump. Piping. So the a full tank, an empty tank, and the empty tank had a working pump, and the full tank had a non-working pump.
I do know that we turned up with our trailer and the owner just said to us, "You haven't got a pen knife, have you?" He lives there. We're en route and we have to look for a knife for him to do some emergency work.
Well, then what they had to do is to put a piece of tubing in the full tank, carry it across the forecourt, and they needed our penknife to trim it so that they could fit it onto the other... I mean, it's highly dangerous, as you can imagine. But it was... I remember the sense of terror that we were in the middle of the Kalahari, and if we couldn't get petrol, we would be there forever. And it really was terror. No airstrip. No, nothing. So it's like life and death stuff. And seriously, when we continue as a church and as individuals on our Christian journey, how easy it is to find ourselves in the middle of the desert and you realize that you haven't filled up and you're near empty and the resources are few and far between. And it's a question that we have to... I don't know. I haven't talked to Nick about St. Andrews. I know bits and pieces. But deliberately coming here today, not wanting to say things to you that you think, he's getting at us as St. Andrews. And when I talk about things like this, I'll want you simply to ask the question, are we equipped for the journey that God's calling us together on over the next 3, 5, 10, 20 years? Who knows how long you'll be there. But as individuals in our Christian life, how resourced are we? And if not, how important is that journey to us? Are we prepared to be stranded where we are for the rest of our lives? So I think there are some good and exciting and encouraging things to think about, but there are also some challenging things for all of us about not carrying too much, but making sure that what we do carry is going to be of value to us in our life with God and with one another. Is that enough about me for now?
Yeah.
Over to you.